This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. We want you guys to help us keep the conversation moving forward. You can do that by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description so you can do just that. Ryan, it's Happy Tuesday, my friend.
Happy Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday is today.
Tuesday.
Yeah, Taco Tuesday.
Taco's the week of Thanksgiving. Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah, Taco's the week of Thanksgiving because you know you're going to be eating turkey and ham and potatoes and all that stuff for the next like week or so.
So I just had, as we were talking about this, just had this thought. Have you ever done the Thanksgiving leftover sandwich?
Like the moist maker?
Yeah.
No. I've never actually done it in real life.
My sandwich!
Shout
out to Ross from Friends. but as you were talking about that, I just thought, like, what if you did a Thanksgiving taco?
Oh,
So like tortilla.
Okay, yeah.
But turkey.
Uh-huh.
Stuffing.
Right.
Cranberry sauce.
Right.
A little bit of gravy.
Uh-huh.
You can get wild. Maybe put some mac and cheese in there or something.
I genuinely think that would be disgusting.
Oh.
No, I'm just joking. Would you do it?
Yeah.
Would you do it here on the show?
Sure, I'd do it on the show.
Well, we only got a couple days till Thanksgiving. Maybe we can make something
Thanksgiving
happen.
Thanksgiving
taco. Thanksgiving taco.
Taco giving.
I'll see if we can get us a Thanksgiving taco.
Giving.
Hey, listen, I got a question for you.
Okay.
$1 million. We usually do $1 million Monday, but this is $1 million Tuesday.
$1 trillion Tuesday.
Oh my, I'll give you $1 trillion for this.
Just kidding.
No, $1 million. But you basically, speaking of Thanksgiving, you never, and this is really going to be bad on Thanksgiving, you never can have a hot meal or a hot drink ever again. It will always be room temperature or below.
Oh.
So even if it comes like imagine that turkey coming fresh out the oven, when you put it in your mouth, it is room temperature or below. It's room temp at best.
Now here's the thing. For food, I think I'd be okay.
Really?
I think I'd be fine.
Like a nice hot steaming pizza and you put it in your mouth and it's like room temperature at best?
I think I'd be fine.
Okay.
I think I'd be fine. It's the drink.
So like most drink you want cold.
I can't ever have a hot cup of coffee.
Never.
Hot apple cider.
Right. Have you ever come back to a cup of coffee you forgot about and you drink? And it's not like ice cold, but it's like that kind of gross.
Every day.
Yeah, that's
every single day.
The like if you go to a diner and they pour you a steaming piping hot cup of coffee, that's the temperature.
That's a sticking point for me. I can get by with food. It's like, yeah, whatever. I wish it was warm, but nah, okay.
Yeah.
But the drink is a sticking point.
But only
is this
the hot
forever?
Drink. This is forever. This is for life. You'll just never have a hot meal or a hot drink again.
And how much do I get? $1 million?
$1 million. Yeah.
I'll do it.
I think I would also. I think I would also do it.
I wouldn't like it, and I'd probably gripe about it, but I would take it.
So I think I would come off coffee. That wouldn't be easy, but I think I could get rid of coffee. I could, or just drink, like you said, iced coffee. I could probably do that.
Yeah, although I don't really
love iced coffee, but I also think to me, it's the food. I think things that should be hot, not being hot, is going to be a sticking point for me, especially like steak. Imagine like biting into a nice steak and it's supposed to be like a piping hot steak or a piping hot baked potato. You're telling me you're going to eat room temp baked potatoes and be okay with it?
You know what makes it taste better?
What?
$1 million.
That
seasoning helps a little bit.
And when it comes to stuff like that,
I think I'd be okay.
I think that's where I would.
I've eaten my fair share of kind of room temperature or less meals because we have so many kids.
Yeah. By the time
trying to take care of the kids and get them all fed and everything. Not so much anymore because they're pretty self-sufficient now. But when they were growing up, I mean, it was regular that I had a meal that was room temperature or below.
I'm gonna pull Dr. Shaw in this conversation because I don't know if that's something that would really be a sticking point for him. I also don't think he doesn't really eat in a timely manner. Like he will leave his food on the table and then come eat it when he has a chance. So yeah. I don't know. And I don't really see him reheat stuff.
Yeah, there are some times where I'm just like, nah, food is food, whatever.
All right, let's ask him and see what he says.
Write in and let us know if you would take that deal. 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, Clearview family. I'm Nicole.
And I'm David.
And we want to talk to you today about the Clearview app.
You know, there are so many churches out there that put their sermons on YouTube and their announcements on Facebook and their prayer list on Periscope.
I didn't even know Periscope was still functional.
Oh, it's not. And that's why nobody can find their church's prayer list and nobody's prayers be getting answered. But here at Clearview, we believe in making our content as accessible as possible.
That's right. Clearview produces so much content every single week, including Dr. Shaw's sermons, original music, a full online store, weekly prayer gatherings, and so much more.
Not to mention the number one best-selling Christian talk show of all time.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Well, maybe not yet, but that's why we want people to download the app.
If you're listening from the Triangle area, we encourage you to check out Clearview Church in person. But if not, you can still follow all of our content on the Clearview app. It's 100% free on the Apple Store and Google Play Store. And best of all of our content is right there in one convenient spot.
Make sure you download the Clearview app today, and let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shah, we're going to give you $1 million right now on the show, cash in hand, my friend.
Okay.
But the only bugaboo is you will never have a hot meal or a hot drink again. So you can drink coffee, but it will always be room temperature or below. Your tea will always be room temperature or below. Any meal that Nicole cooks, it'll always be room temperature or below. So like, has she ever made something and left it out all night? And then so even if you heat it up, it'll be that temperature.
And this is, how much do I get?
You get $1 million.
How long do I have to do this?
I'm going
to
say, I said for life in the intro, I'm going to say 10 years. This is a 10-year commitment.
I'll do it.
You'll do it?
I'll do it.
You can eat some cold food?
Yeah.
I think I could do it too.
I do it for 10 years. For life, life might be tough. But for 10 years, I could do it for 10 years.
I don't think the meals would be that bad. I think having a cup of coffee is going to be really dreadful.
You just switch to iced coffee.
I guess so, but man.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, just iced coffee, iced tea.
But isn't there something about going and sitting down in a diner at like 8 o'clock in the morning and just getting a hot cup of coffee?
Isn't there something about $1 million?
Fair enough.
I mean, I can
trade off.
I don't know what I would do, but anyways, I'll take a hot bath.
I think I'd take
it. Yeah,
there you go. Take a hot bath with your lukewarm beverage.
But I say if you if you try to drink the water, it's going to be
It's going to turn lukewarm.
I'm not going to drink that water.
That's pretty desperately thirsty.
Dr. Shah, I also want to say thank you. You brought us these mango drinks, Swad.
Speaking of mango drinks.
So, by the way, Swad means taste.
Okay.
Huh. And it's a company called Swad. I did not have this company mango drinks growing up, but there were mango drinks around.
Right. We did a segment a few weeks back talking about all the drinks and sodas that India has.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, I came in, I looked at the fridge and I said, where did all these drinks come from? I started pulling them out. I was like, I don't recognize any of these brands. And I was like, thumbs up soda. where have I heard thumbs up soda? I said, oh my goodness. I thought David did it. I was like, David, did you get all these Indian sodas? He said, no, Dr. Shaw went out and got them. Yeah.
Oh, what do you think?
I like it.
Where did you get them from?
I mean, from an Indian store.
Okay.
Up in Cary.
I like
I do like it.
There you go.
I like it a lot.
I got some nice amount of tons of sugar in it.
Yeah, it says water, mango pulp, sugar. Those are the first three ingredients.
Important. It does taste good.
It really does. It's thick.
I remember trying mango when I was, I was probably middle school, and I really did not like it.
Really?
But people told me it was because I had a bad mango. Like, I have not,
that
like, not, but good. It just didn't have
that's
a good
delicious.
Taste.
That's delicious.
It tasted a lot like.
You drank it all?
I drank it all. I like that. That was really good.
You
delicious.
Already drank the whole thing?
Yeah.
During summertime, this is the drink. You get it nice and cold, and a mango drink during the summer is like elixir from the gods.
That's you drink a lot of mango drinks growing up?
Growing up, we had a mango tree in our yard. But so mango comes in many different varieties, and some mangoes are like this. Mm-hmm. Some are more tart. I mean, it's all kinds. Mm-hmm. The one we had in our churchyard was more tart side of things, and it was used to make pickle. Mango pickle.
Ooh,
very,
that's
very,
good.
Very popular in India.
Yeah. Huh. Mango pickles.
But don't get pickles as like our pickles here.
Right, yeah. Right.
Like, you know, in water and all, you know, it's kind of preserved. This is pickle with spices and everything. I think Nick has had that before. And it's really good.
The one I remember trying. Now, granted, this was growing up in South Carolina, so not really mango country.
Like that. Yeah, yeah. That's
Wow. The one I remember trying tasted a lot like a pine tree. It tasted like almost like this. We would think of smell of a pine tree. That was the taste of the mango, and I was like, "This is not."
Is it like a pickle you would pick up and eat, or is it like a sauce, like a preserve you spread?
Probably that latter.
You put it put it on your food. Good.
On your food. Oh, you keep it on the side, and then you kind of take it a little bit at a time.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, that does look kind of good. I'm not gonna lie.
I mean, I love those mango pickles so much.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Back in the day, this is back in the early 80s, grandma was like the cook. I've never met anybody cook Indian food like she did.
As they say in the South, your tongue beat your brains out trying to get to her food.
Never heard that, but I did now.
Yeah.
And she would make these mango pickles. And some of those mangoes were coming from our tree. Mm-hmm. Some of them my dad would buy because they were not enough. You know, on the tree to make all this. And big old jars.
Wow.
Big jars. Big. They almost look like those milk jars. Have you remember those those old-fashioned from the 30s, 40s, a big milk jar?
Oh, yeah. The big jugs.
That's how big they were.
Wow.
And they would make this. And it was so good that we would actually just dig in there and just take out like a whole bowl of just nothing but mango pickle.
Wow. Was she cool with that, or did she want you to eat it with your food?
It's supposed to be eaten with the food, but it's like my parents didn't know what was happening, and we would like go in there and we just get some out.
Just have some of this.
Yeah, and it was oh my goodness.
One of my favorite things in the world is that no matter where you are in the world, grandma's cooking is always on point.
Oh man, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Heard about recently, and we need to move on with the show, but I heard about recently there is this restaurant, I think it's in New York, and it's only open on the weekends, and they have no menu because the chefs are grandmothers who come in there. They come in there and they just make their signature dishes. So it's always different. You never know what you're going to have when you go in there.
Wow.
It's only open on the weekends, but it's just grandmothers from around the community, around the world, and they have all their signature dishes. So
for our viewers, Dr. Shaw, which one looks the most like home?
Okay, so if you want to find the one, type in Bedeker, which is B-E, right next to it, B-E-D-E-K-A-R, space, and click. Yeah, that's it. And now, since then, they have really modernized things. That's not what they look like. In fact, a lot of Indian folks try to bring this from India, and the jars are never properly sealed.
For real?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
And their clothes are forever oily and stained.
What is chunda? Is that?
It's a kind of mango.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So all this is mango. That's stuff.
Wow. Chili pickle. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
So is it spicy?
And depends on what kind you get. If you get like super spicy, it can be. If it's hot, it can be. So good. Oh my goodness.
Wow. Maybe we should have some on the show. Some mango pickles. Sure. Let's do it.
Expanding my horizon. You changed my mind about mangoes.
You like mangoes?
Changed my mind.
That was delicious.
That was really good.
I could get on board with that.
There you go.
The verse of the day today is coming to us from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it."
There's so much. Nehemiah became one of my favorite books in the Old Testament, primarily because when I came to Clearview in 2013, Dr. Shah, you were preaching a series through the book of Nehemiah. And I'm ashamed to say I didn't even know Nehemiah was a book. The churches I had been in, you know, they do Romans, they'll do Philippians, they'll do Galatians.
It's not one that you hit often.
I didn't even know. I mean, I knew it was somewhere in there, but it was not a story. If someone had come to me in 2013 and said, "Tell me the story of Nehemiah," I said, I had no clue.
Right.
But there's so much that can be garnered from that. One of the things I love about that verse that Ryan just read is like, if the king, if like I'd been summoned before the king and he's like, "Hey, tell me what you want," I'd be like, "Oh man, I got my laundry list ready."
Yeah.
But I love how he goes and says, "I need to pray before the Lord."
Right.
Like, even though he knows what he wants to do, he goes to God first.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Nehemiah, quite an amazing character. If you want to jump in, let's talk about him.
Yeah. I love it.
He was a Jewish man living in the Persian capital of Shushan.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Shushine, but it's not Shushan, which is modern day Iran.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, God's people had been taken into captivity. There's the first one, which is the Assyrian. The second one is the Babylonian. This is the Babylonian captivity. And they were under Nebuchadnezzar for a while. And then the Medo-Persian Empire took over the Chaldean or the Babylonian Empire. And overnight, they became Medo-Persian.
Right.
And Nehemiah was born in Persia, born in Babylon that became Persia. And so he grew up away from the promised land. He probably, I may be wrong, but he probably never visited his homeland.
He has Jewish roots, but no Jewish like memories.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or memories of living in Judah.
Right.
Or Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Or Israel. I mean, he had no connection there.
Right.
Gosh.
And no reason to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why would you go back over there? I mean, your life is here.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of research is coming out that the Jewish people who were living in Babylon, after the first little bit of adjustments, they settled very well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because God told them.
I mean, it was a prosperous.
Bloom where you planted.
Yeah, Babylon was bloom a prosperous empire, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were told, bloom where you planted.
Mm-hmm.
That's the verse we use all the time. You know, my purpose is not to hurt you or what is it? How does it go? But to give you a future and a hope.
A future and a hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So guess what? God's people obeyed.
Mm-hmm.
And they began to marry and give in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And they began to plant vineyards. They began to build homes.
Yeah.
And they began to teach their children the things of God. At the same time, they began to teach them. He's smiling.
I'm waiting for that. I thought the secret word was coming. I was waiting.
I'm like, do you have a word?
No, this is your day.
Oh, you okay. Okay.
I thought you were the one. I was waiting for it.
No. I mean, it's going to come.
Yeah, I got you.
But not as you expect.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I gotta really work on my poker face.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of an anodyne thing because their whole life was uplifted.
Nah, that's secret word.
You give me such a complicated word.
I'm like, how am I going to do that?
Some of them are so like encumber. Like, okay, I can work that in the conversation.
Some of them are too easy.
What was the word?
Anodyne.
Anodyne. I was like, that's not, we don't
What does
talk
anodyne
like that.
Mean, David? Anodyne. You don't even know.
You don't even know.
Well, find it.
Wow.
Find it.
I'll find anodyne. It.
We'll I think we'll it means what. Serving to alleviate pain.
Yeah. I'm like,
anodyne.
But don't worry. I gave you that word, but trust me, I'm not going to do like easy words for these two.
Oh,
it's going to be a whole different word of the day.
We forgot to mention David is now that Dr. Shaw's playing the game.
David is the arbiter of the secret words.
He's the arbiter of the secret words. He's the one handing out the secret words. So no longer can we choose
and the stakes have changed a little bit too because we're going to try to work them in as many times as possible.
Yeah.
And it's points for each one each time you work it in.
Yeah, if you get away with it, we'll celebrate at the end how many times you were able to get with it.
Yeah.
So cool.
Anodyne means to alleviate pain.
Mm. Anodyne.
So you can tell people, if you work in the hospital, say, I'm here to anodyne you.
Yes. Prepare to be anodyned.
Well, that's actually my name. My first name is Anna and my middle name is Dine.
Dine.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Absolutely. Yeah.
You're a pain reliever. So anyways, going back to this, so they listened to God and they began to plant themselves. So Nehemiah grew up in relatively good life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tend to think of them living in exile, like, are they all chained up half the time, mm-hmm. working as slaves? No, they were doing fine. Right. And we have evidence. A lot of scholars have done research and they have evidence of how they owned property.
Mm.
They had businesses. So it was like, go back to what? Judah,
mm-hmm.
and be hammered by the Egyptians to the south and the Hittites or the Assyrians to the north. No, we're good.
Yeah, why would I do that?
Why would you do that?
Especially for a land that I've never known.
Right.
You know, if it was like, oh, I got taken from my home, maybe, but I was born here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
That's the thing that's always struck me about Nehemiah. I try to put myself in his shoes. How would I feel if,
right.
you know, I heard about this in my homeland, but do I even really feel about this? Like, it is my homeland because my entire life is here. So would I pack up and go back and try to rebuild a city that I've never known?
I can sort of relate to that because my grandfather was born in Greece and came here to America. Mm-hmm. But if there was some catastrophe going on in Greece, I mean, like, I would feel bad. Don't get me wrong. But the last thing I would do is be like, I need to pack up,
I need to
move
go help.
My family and go over there because those right. are my people. I don't feel that way. I'm an American citizen.
Yep.
So,
right.
you know, I think that's something that's kind of lost. Maybe not lost, but I think people don't talk about that,
yeah.
about the Nehemiah story enough.
Right, right. So initially there were people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you know, who had to go inside a fiery furnace,
mm-hmm.
or Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Then, you know, things like that would happen. Or Esther, under Esther's, you know, the book of Esther, you hear how there was a massive decree to kill all the Jewish people. So mm-hmm. time to time, things like this would happen. But overall...
Mm-hmm.
things were quite peaceful,
right?
Not a problem.
Yeah.
So he had no reason to go back. And other people had gone, okay? There was not a massive exit when Cyrus said, hey, guys, I'm the new king. You can go home. It was not like all the Jewish people got up and said, okay, thank you so much, dear king. We've been here too long. We're headed home.
Mm.
In fact, many did not.
Oh, that's right, because... Nehemiah is not serving under the Babylonian king. He's serving under Persian. The Jewish people are already able to go home and home.
Have been going home for, so to give you a little timeline here, let's do that for a moment. So 587 BC is when Nebuchadnezzar came against Jerusalem and destroyed everything.
Mm-hmm.
The temple, the walls, got the people out of their homes. And he had been doing this for some time.
Right.
But 587 BC was his final assault and it's done. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have 70 years into exile,
mm-hmm.
and that's when Cyrus came to the throne. And after Cyrus comes to the throne, he sets the people free, and people began to slowly trickle back into the promised land. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Nehemiah's book is about 444 or 445 BC. So do the math from 587 to 444. How many years is that?
Hang on, I need my calculator right here.
Yeah.
587. So
I should be able to do that faster than
I know,
can.
I know.
So, I mean, you're talking about close to, what, 140-some years?
That they've been allowed back in.
No.
142?
That they've been gone from
the land.
Got you.
And then from, I think they were set free, but 537, something like that, I think it is.
38. To 444.
Shouldn't be quite 100.
That's 94.
94 years.
94 years.
So think about it. 100 years. 100 years that they have been free to go back.
Yeah.
That's a great point. That leaves a lot of context to it.
Because
you think the way you hear the story is they're allowed to go back. Nehemiah himself is like, nah, I'm going to chill here. But really, it's been 100 years. Since that point.
Yeah.
Several generations have gone by.
Yeah.
And many went back. Ezra has already come back. The temple has been rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time it's Nehemiah's time,
mm-hmm.
it's like.
Like there have been many generations since then who've chosen not to go back and keep themselves in Persia.
By the way, just a quick history lesson. Up until very recently, a couple of decades ago,
mm-hmm.
Jewish people were still living in Iran.
Mm.
Wow.
There's still one Jewish person left who is. I don't know how he survives, but he's sort of like in the politics there and all that. He's the only one, but he's anti-Israel. I mean, or at least he has to be. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he's still there.
Wow.
Yeah. That's one left.
That's incredible.
That does give more context to the story because it's not just this, you know, pile of rubble that's abandoned. It's God's people have been moving back there and the temple is rebuilt and yet the walls are still destroyed. So people are coming against besieging the city and it can't quite gain its footing because there's just this constant stream of attacks.
And yet Nehemiah feels this call to go back to his homeland that he's never known.
He's living. He's not just a guy working in Persia. Mm-hmm. What does it say about him? It's if you go back here in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "Then it came to pass in the month of Kislev in the 20th year as I was in Shushan, the citadel," which was the capital, "that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who has survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, 'The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. Mm. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire.' So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven."
Wow.
So what you see here is, he is getting a report while he is at work. And what kind of work does he do? Well, great point. Shushan is the capital city of the Persian Empire. It's about 150 miles north of the Persian Gulf, if you want to get some information on that.
Mm-hmm.
Wintertime, it was wonderful. And the Persian kings made it their winter home.
Wow.
And this is also where, by the way, Esther was crowned as the queen of Persia.
In Shushan. Mm. Wow.
And Nehemiah 1:11 tells us that he was king's cupbearer.
Mm.
Does not mean he was the king's dishwasher or waiter.
Yeah.
Cupbearer means one who gives something to drink. That's the literal meaning. What does that mean? Means he is much more than just a guinea pig.
Mm-hmm.
He is the king's most trusted friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if someone's directly handing you something to drink, you have to trust that person, especially if you're a teen in those days. And
people think it's just the taster. Like if it's poisonous, okay, you try it first. I wouldn't put the best of the best person to try.
Yeah.
Try
to
something.
Try some poison.
No.
Poison every
I'd try
time.
Try it on like a prisoner or something.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure they did that too.
Yeah. Probably.
You drink this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think he was the most trusted person the king knew.
Mm.
Kind of crazy, right?
It is.
A Jewish
really
person,
is.
The most trusted person for a Persian king. And so there's more to that. A cupbearer was not only somebody who just was the most trusted person. He was also the keeper of the signet and in charge of the administration of the accounts. Mm. We get that from Tobit. This is an extra biblical work. Tobit 1:22, he was also in charge of the administration of the accounts. So he was a very important person.
Oh, yeah, extremely.
Over and over and over again throughout the time of exile. And even, you know, Nehemiah, after the people have started to go back, you see Jewish people elevated to a position of leadership, position of prominence. You've got Daniel, you've got Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you've got Esther, you've got Ezra, you've got people who, and Nehemiah, of course, that is not their homeland, and yet they are put in positions of power and of influence.
Well, it's a fulfillment of God's promise that if you bloom where you're planted, you will well and truly bloom.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that you're just, and I love that, and maybe it's a message for us too. It's not this that you're going to survive this, you're going to thrive. From this. I'm going to turn this around and work it together for good.
And I would say that's what's happening in America.
Mm-hmm.
Even through the exile period, we have sort of thrived.
That's true.
It's been tough, very, very stressful. But now we see there's a shift, a major, massive shift that's going to be seen in history books as positively as a 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think about that parable that Jesus gave about, you know, the one that went away and hid the money, hid the talents, because it's like, I think a lot of churches did that. And a lot of Christians did that too, where it was like, they felt that times were against them, but it's like, let's just hunker down and do what we can to survive. Right. And there's not going to be any blessing in that. But, you know, I think about the way that you handled this entire last 4 years, Dr. Shah, and everything since the pandemic. It's like, it's going to be tough and there's going to be hard times, but we're still going to give 120%. Mm-hmm. Right. And because of that, God has blessed us. We weren't focused on surviving.
Right. And our mentality was not that, you know, as much as we are facing this time of stress and how terrible it is, that's what we got to do. Well, what if the times shift as the times are shifting now, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, in a positive way? Well, change with the times.
That's right.
Exactly. 100%. Exactly. Get the lay of the land.
That's right. Don't lose sight of the gospel. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about the word of God, the truth of God. But be willing to change.
That's right.
And that's what we're going to do.
That's Amen. Right. That's right. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. John, what do you want to leave our listeners with?
I want to let you know about Dr. Shah and Nicole's book, 30 Days of Praying for America. These are daily devotions to heal our nation. You can get it on Amazon right now. We're working on the Audible version as we speak. Also, we want to let you know about our debut album, Heaven Here and Now. It's available on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, Rhapsody, anywhere music is sold. You can get your copy today.
Both great resources then. We pray that they're a blessing to you and your loved ones. Make sure you guys jump in with a conversation with us tomorrow. Same time, same station. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.